Please pay attention to this point. The enemies have pinned their hope on operations, psychological operations, or operations in cyberspace with money, with just recruiting mercenaries. The enemies want to actually instigate the people to face the Islamic establishment. That's the first component of this point. And the second component is that the enemy's calculation in this regard, similar to other calculations, is a wrong one. They promised in the early days of the revolution that the Islamic Republic will only last for 6 months and it will collapse. After 6 months, the enemies extended that for another 6 months. More than 80 such 6 months have passed, and the Islamic Republic was a sapling at that time, and today it has become a strong tree, a deep-rooted tree. So they made a miscalculation at that time. Today they are also making a miscalculation. It's like their miscalculation regarding the post-war. They helped Saddam, and they thought that within a few days, they will be able to collapse the Islamic Republic. And these were the calculations made by the Westerners and the Americans. They were all wrong, and today they are making a miscalculation. They think that they can instigate the people against the Islamic establishment. They think that they can just consider this as an agent, because they know that the Islamic Republic attaches importance to the people. Why are the Americans making this miscalculation? Because they have advisors, because those advisors are the treacherous Iranians. Those advisors are treacherous Iranians and traitors who are providing them with advice. These treacherous advisors have been traitors to their own homeland, but they are also traitors to Americans as well, because they are providing them with advice with wrong information, and they act based on such advice and they fail. One of the things they have said is that you can count on the people for countering the Islamic establishment, and the Iranian nation is tired of religion and the Islamic establishment, and that the nation will resist in the face of the Islamic establishment. So these unaware and treacherous advisors, these are the things they are saying, and they are telling these things to their American masters, and they say the same things. They say these things in the Senate, and they repeat these statements, and there are a few naive individuals. Fortunately, a few naive individuals accept such things inside the country. And sometimes we hear, or one can read in internet notes that or in dailies some say that the people's belief in clerics and the religion has been undermined. This is 100% wrong calculation. People's tendency towards the revolution and religion today is definitely more compared to the early days of the revolution.
گرایش مردم به انقلاب و مبارزات و مجاهدات
speaking of people's tendency towards the revolution
تشییع میلیونی شهید قاسم سلیمانی نگاه کنه.
If one wants to realize people's tendency towards the revolution, one can refer to a million strong presence by the people in the funeral ceremony of Martyr Soleimani.
بدن قطع قطع شده شهید سلیمانی به وسیله میلیون ها انسان بدرقه شد.
And millions of people took part in his funeral ceremony. His body was cut in pieces. He was a competent person. He dedicated his life for the sake of the Islamic Republic. So the people respected that person. This is one example. There are other examples as well. The ulamas, Ayatollah Safi Golpai Ghani, he was a source of emulation. He was a jurist. You see that the people hugely took part in his ceremony. Also, Ayatollah Bahjat, he was a spiritual jurist, and in his funeral ceremony and the people of Qom participated in his the people from other parts of the country traveled to Qom to participate in his funeral ceremony. And the country's athletes, politicians, artists, and other figures. See, all these people have shown their sentiments taking part in such ceremonies. What does this show? Does this show people's lack of tendency towards clerics and religious figures? Does it show people's lack of tendency towards religion and jihad and resistance? So this is the type of analyses they have. That's how they analyze the issues. There was a song that was a song paying respect to the late, paying respect to the Imam of the time. A song that was performed paying homage to the Imam of the time, saluting the Imam of the time. See what the people are doing. See how the people are showing excitement and happiness, and men, women, children, and the elderly throughout the country, in Tehran, in Mashhad, in Isfahan, in Yazd, in other cities. What is the reason for this? Does it show people's lack of tendency towards religion? Or otherwise, we did not have such things in the early days of the revolution. The early days of the revolution, we had young students. We did not have, on those days, we did not have young students actually taking part in etikaf ceremonies, or did not have so many students taking part in religious ceremonies. But today, you see that they have a massive presence. Oh, or I can refer to 22nd of Bahman rallies. for 43, 44 years on 22nd of Bahman and also on the day of Quds. People take part in rallies. The glorious rallies are held. Does it show people's lack of tendency towards the revolution? This indicates people's loyalty. This indicates people's resistance, people's steadfastness, and shows the effectiveness of Imam's lessons.
توجه کنید در پایان عرایزم چند توصیه میخوام بکنم.
In conclusion, I wish to mention a few recommendations to those active in the field of society, revolution, politics and economy. I want to give recommendations to activists, the young people and others. Do not allow the enemy or the anti-revolutionaries to eliminate the identity of the revolution, and do not allow them to show the revolution's identity in an opposite form. This is an important recommendation. I'm recommending the smart young people to think about this. The next recommendation is not to allow the Imam's personality and spirit to be undermined. Do not allow his spirit to be undermined. Do not allow anyone to distort the Imam. Do not allow reactionaries to penetrate the country and find a position. What do I mean by reactionary? When we speak of a reactionary, I mean a person who adheres to the Western lifestyle. A person who adheres to a Western lifestyle, he is a reactionary person. This existed during the corrupt rule of the Pahlavi regime. There was a Western lifestyle, and this was eliminated by the revolution. Whoever returns to that is a reactionary. This person may wear T-shirts or jeans and also wear a French perfume, but such a person is a reactionary. Any person moving, having a tendency towards Western lifestyle is a reactionary. Do not allow the country to move towards such a reactionary approach, and do not allow reactionaries to penetrate the country. Disclose the enemy's deception and psychological warfare. At the time of the Imam, there were no satellites, there was no internet, and at that time, the Imam said that the enemy is fighting you with his pen. And today, there's no talk of a pen. There's talk of cyberspace, satellite channels. It's a psychological warfare. It's an all-encompassing psychological warfare. And do not allow that warfare to affect the country. Let me give you an example. Iran's oil is stolen in Greek waters, and our oil was stolen there. And our courageous forces detain the enemy's vessel, and there is propaganda ballyhoo accusing Iran of stealing. Who is the thief? You have stolen our oil, and we have taken that back, and that is not stealing. You are the thief. The Americans order the Greek government, and the Greek government acts and steals our oil. This is psychological warfare, and there are similar cases, and this has to be countered. The next recommendation is to actually benefit from this great asset of people's faith. The people are faithful, they have faith. This can bring about virtue and can generate virtue. And our Imam was a master in this regard. He was a unique master in benefiting people's faith for creating virtue. Do not allow some to claim that the country has reached a stalemate. There are some doing this in cyberspace. Either they are receiving money or they are doing this due to their negligence. They want to pretend that the country has reached a stalemate. No, the country will not reach a stalemate. The same thing happened at the time of Imam. There were some who wrote this in the paper, in newspapers, saying the country has reached a stalemate. The Imam said, "You have reached a stalemate. The Islamic Republic will not reach a stalemate." And this is the reality. Do not allow anyone to disappoint the people.
در خلوت یا جلوت به مجریان نهیب میزد.
Imam had used to actually tell the officials publicly or in private sessions, and they strongly criticized them. And at the same time, he, in some cases, he did appreciate them. And the Imam appreciated one official or a number of officials for the performance. So today, the enemy is after tarnishing the image of the officials. It's an important obligation to appreciate the officials. In the case of Abadan, a minister goes to the scene of the incident and stands there for 3 or 4 nights. The president, his deputy, the vice president, also travels to Abadan and meets the bereaved families. These are valuable actions, and they must be appreciated. Of course, those behind such acts of sabotage, they must be held accountable, either in case of Abadan or other cases. They must be held accountable and punished.
ارواح مطهر شهدای عزیزمون و به روح مطهر امام.
I pray to God, I swear God, to the blood of martyrs, the pure soul of the Imam, to help us tread the path of righteousness. I pray to God to help this nation take a stronger steps forward. I was informed that when Mr. Haj Hassan Khomeini was speaking, some elements made some noises and made some sort of a ballyhoo, and I do oppose such ballyhoos.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شنید بیانات رهبر معظم انقلاب اسلامی رو در
Welcome back, dear listeners. You just heard the speech of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the 33rd passing away anniversary of the founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. Dear listeners, many thanks for being with IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on May 7th, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution on the occasion of the International Al-Quds Day. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, in his speech on the occasion of International Quds Day, referring to the change in the balance of power in favor of Islamic world and Palestine, emphasized, I tell you with confidence the downward movement of the Zionist regime has started and will not stop.
Greetings be upon all liberated individuals in the Arab world, in particular Arab youth, and greetings be upon the resistant people of Palestine and Quds and the defenders in Masjid al-Aqsa. Greetings be upon the martyrs of resistance and the large numbers of the mujahids who laid down their lives on this path, in particular Martyr Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, Martyr Sayyid Abbas Musavi, Martyr Fathi Shaqaqi, Martyr Imad Mughniya, Martyr Abdul Aziz Rantisi, Martyr Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and finally the most prominent personality among the martyrs of resistance, Martyr Qasim Soleimani. Even after their fruitful and blessed life with their martyrdom, each of these personalities exerted a deep impact on the resistance. The endeavors of Palestinians and the pure blood of the resistance martyrs have managed to hold up this auspicious flag and to increase the internal power of Palestinian jihad by 100 times.
every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
One day, the Palestinian youth used to defend themselves by throwing stones. But today, they respond to enemy attacks with precision missiles. Palestine and Quds have been described in the Holy Quran as the Holy Land. It has been tens of years now that the most impure and malicious human beings have been occupying this pure land. They are devils who massacre honorable human beings, and then they confess to it with complete shamelessness. They are racists who have been harassing for more than 70 years the main owners of the land by murdering, looting, imprisoning and torturing them, but thank God they have not been able to break their willpower. Palestine is alive and it continues to resist, and it will finally overcome the malicious enemy with God's assistance.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Dear listeners, again, we interrupt the normal course of our program to go live to Press TV headquarters to have the panels and debates on the 33rd passing away anniversary of the late founder of Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. Please take a listen.
...of the political. I think the most important thing that we have to remember is that Imam Khomeini's legacy is not just for Iran, it is for the world of Islam. What he did was bringing out the Muslims in general from a colonial experience that had put down their agency and that had basically kept them from deciding for their own lives, for kept them under control for so long in the talk of the leader. He also, Muslims, of course, the world, with this sort of from the Western world, was in the form of neo-colonialism, and on the world of Islam was no Imam Khomeini's legacy as out of that dark colonization, being the colonization that, of course, begins with the decolonization of the that we have to. The world, in a different sense, and change the way we look at our role in this world as Muslims.
Thank you very much, Ms. Biria. Let's ask Mr. Khosh Cheshm what he knows about Imam Khomeini's idea and some of the values that he promised.
Hello, thanks for having me. I do agree with Mrs. Biria that Imam Khomeini brought new ideas and blue hope to the Muslim world community, to the people throughout the world. he brought new political thoughts, he brought new ideas, a new pattern of life. He gave courage to the people and showed them a new path. And he inspired many throughout the world he actually brought a new pattern that's still being developed and followed by millions throughout the world. He showed that if you mean to rise, really, and stand integrated and united, you could, have your own independent sovereign states against all the pressures that you might endure from the West and from the powers of the world. You still can resist the tyrants, and you still can represent new ideas to the world. So he was an inspiring character in every possible way, not only for religious people, but also for those outside the domain domain of Islam and outside Muslim territories. Look at the way that Palestinians have been fighting against Israel. Look at the way that the Lebanese have been resisting against the Israelis before and after the Islamic Revolution. Many people throughout this region were feeling lonely, the oppressed communities. But after the happening of Islamic Revolution and after they heard Imam Khomeini's word, they changed their lifestyle, they changed their political thoughts, they changed their views, and they felt more courage. They were more brave to stand for their own causes. So Imam Khomeini was a character that blew hope and life to the people, especially the Muslim people throughout the West Asian region, who have been experiencing a different life after the Islamic Revolution and after Imam Khomeini.
Okay, so Ms. Bidia, we just heard Mr. Khoshishma discuss the ramifications of the revolution and how it affected the entire region. It actually went far beyond the borders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So, Ms. Bidia, in your opinion, how did Imam Khomeini affect the entire political, order of the region?
Of course, what we had before the Islamic Revolution's victory was a system that was based on a bipolar world, a system of dominance that was based on, on the one hand we had the Soviet Union and the other hand we had the United States, each of which were trying to have places of influence, and Iran was of course under the influence of the United States, and was so it had no agency of its own with regard to its internal affairs and with regard to its foreign policy. So in this sense, Imam Khomeini actually later on, after the revolution, he addresses the Muslims of the world and says that you are under a situation that you are approaching your death. It is his word for it is gradual death. You're experiencing gradual death. So in the words of Imam Khomeini, the region, the West Asian region, and of course the whole world is under this kind of situation that people have no say in what is happening around them. It is the superpowers who are using their proxies, who are using their stooges in different parts of the world, and they are usurping the rights of the people. And of course, Imam says that you have to come out of the fear of death, and that is what he gives, that is the soul that he gives to the Iranian people, that in a place where there is the least amount of hope, that in a place that it is the least expected, people rise against this system of dominance, and they bring the Iran out of this dark time and start a new age of revival of the the political role of the people, the and the growth of the people in a different atmosphere.
Okay, now that seems a very important issue we need to discuss further with Mr. Khoshish. But before that, let's talk to our correspondent, Yusuf Jalali, who is right now joining us from the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini. Yusuf, tell us where you're stationed and what is the mood, what is happening.
Well, where I'm standing is the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini in south of Tehran, and it's June 4th, and once again, Iranians from all walks of life gathered at the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini to pay tribute to him, to honor him as really a man who changed the course of history in Iran. For Iranians, Imam Khomeini was a person who brought about a political system that honors the Islamic values. And as Iranians are Muslims, and these people say that we need a political system that addresses the Islamic instructions and Islamic values. And that was what Imam Khomeini brought about by the Islamic Revolution in 1979. Imam Khomeini died at the age of 86 in 1989. On June 4th, where millions of Iranians from different cities took part in the funeral service held for him on June 4th. And since then, every year on June 4th, Iranians gather at the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini behind me to honor him, pay tribute to him, and commemorate him, remember him as the father of the Islamic Revolution. The Islamic Revolution, as put by Iranian people, was a revolution that ended centuries of monarchies in Iran. They believe that the Islamic Revolution was driven by anti-imperialist sentiments, as the Shah, the former monarch of the Pahlavi regime, was a person that is who is believed by Iranians to be heavily dependent on Western powers, and that led to the Western powers, including the UK and the US, to dominate the Iranian oil, to exploit Iranian natural resources. Still, the traces of those of that dominance can be witnessed today. When you pay a visit to the city of Abadan in southwest Iran, you still see some facilities and residential areas built especially for British engineers. Around two-thirds of the city of Abadan is dedicated for a residential area for the British engineers at the times. That suggests the scale of the British dominance over the Iranian oil. And what the revolution did was to end that dominance over the Iranian oil and led to a type of a self-sufficiency for Iranians, for the oil industry, for other sectors in the Iranian economy to be run and to be operated by Iranian people, by Iranian experts. That is the main reason why we see people here still remember Imam Khomeini as a highly revered figure in the Islamic Republic and amongst Iranians. Today we saw that the Iranian leader, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, as with every year, delivered a speech where he hailed the efforts made by Imam Khomeini for Iranians, for the victory of the Islamic Revolution. And the leader said that the enemies of the Islamic Revolution are still trying to deal a blow to the revolution and to the Islamic Republic by resorting to sanctions. On the early days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the United States backed Iraq's Saddam Hussein to wage a full-scale war against Iran to deal a blow to the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic at the time. And still, they are maintaining their hostility against the Islamic Republic, trying to derail the Islamic Republic and deal a blow to it by resorting to economic pressures and sanctions. But despite that, the leader said that the Islamic Republic still continues to be resilient in the face of all those pressures. And he said that he owes this resilience to the support, the popular support by the Iranian people to the Islamic Revolution, as he's referring to the turnout, the mass turnout in the ceremonies to honor and remember and commemorate Imam Khomeini. The participants of the Iranian people on major occasions, national occasions, like the victory of the Islamic Revolution, every year people take part in those celebrations, and that is the main reason the Islamic Republic is still resilient, is still strong in the face of all those pressures triggered by the United States and the West in general.
So, Youssef, I have one more question for you. Youssef, I have one more question for you. And, of course, you did mention... I'm not sure if Youssef can hear us right now. So, Youssef, another question for you. You talked about the legacy of Imam Khomeini and how it still lives on. And we've also seen plenty of young people attending this ceremony, people walking right behind you, obviously from all walks of life. Tell us more about how the legacy of Imam Khomeini lives on through the younger generation of Iran. And have you been able to talk to some younger people, people who have obviously not seen those days of the revolution?
Well, yes, I talked to a couple of girls and boys, of course. They call themselves the fourth generation of the Islamic Revolution. And they said, despite the fact that they have not seen those days, they still they believe that the revolution is a cause that they need to stick to and hold on to. They believe that their families taught them to stick to the revolutionary ideals, the ideals that were introduced by Imam Khomeini. What are those ideals? The independence, the slogans of independence from the West and East, and freedom. So these people, even the younger generation, they said that such ceremonies, June 4th ceremonies, among other ceremonies, national occasions, can teach them about the personality of Imam Khomeini, can teach them about what the reason was behind the Islamic Revolution, why people at the time, their fathers, their grandfathers, why they rose against the Shah, why they brought about the Islamic Revolution, and why they still hold on to the to those ideals. So these are all taught during such ceremonies and occasions like June 4th. People of the younger generation today, they really know and learn about the Imam Khomeini and who Imam Khomeini was during such ceremonies. They understand his character, and they believe that their current leader he is, of course, treading on the same path. They're referring to Imam Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, as the incumbent leader of the Islamic Revolution. They said that they need to support the leader. They need to stand with those ideals. And the interesting point is that they understand politics. They say that the United States is trying to isolate Iranians. The United States and the West in general are trying to bring the revolution to its knees. And they need to support the revolution no matter what, against all odds caused by the sanctions and caused by the economic and political pressures imposed on the Islamic Republic. These people are loyal to the Islamic Revolution. These people seem to be loyal and committed to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution. And all of those, all of that commitment is made during such ceremonies, which is taking place every year, not only on June 4th, but on the victory of the Islamic Revolution, on the establishment of the Islamic Republic as a new political system, which came about on the 12th of Farvardin, 40 years ago, during a referendum where more than 98%, based on official accounts, of the eligible voters voted yes to the Islamic Revolution and established it as a new political system that honors and addresses Islamic values. Gisim.
Thank you very much. That was our correspondent, Youssef Jalali, who is at the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini, giving us a live account of what's happening there. We'll be in touch with Youssef Jalali later during our program. But in the meantime, let's bring back Mr. Mustafa Khoshchesm. Mr. Khoshchesm, we just heard Youssef Jalali talking about the legacy of Imam Khomeini. We also had Ms. Biria discussing a legacy that lives on for 33 years and how it has affected the entire region. It has gone far beyond the borders of the country itself. It has been inspiring oppressed people all over the world. So basically, Mr. Khoshchesm, I would like you to explain more about whether or not Imam Khomeini himself was aware of this ramification, and what was his opinion? Did he pay attention to these effects that the revolution has on other countries?
Well, definitely he had attention to all these aspects, but no matter what, he was working for God. He was a man of God, and he was a divine man. He has said it on different occasions that no matter I'm supported by anyone or not, I do what I have been asked by God and religion. So this is a very important notion and understanding in Islamic teachings and in Quranic teachings, that you need to think of God and trust in God and forget about the results. Just do your responsibility and duty. This has been best displayed in Imam Hussein's story of Ashura and Karbala. And the Islamic revolution has been under the constant inspiration and impact of the story of Karbala. But before the Islamic revolution, Imam Khomeini stood up for this noble cause. He received public support, but the Pahlavi regime clamped down on people and killed people some 15 years before the revolution. And then they imprisoned him, then they sent him to exile. And again, if you just study the thinkings of Imam, the thoughts that he had then was no different than later, 15 years later, when Islamic revolution embraced victory. He was the same man. He was after a noble cause. So he continued his thoughts and service to God. Before the Islamic revolution, the world was divided into two Eastern and Western blocs. You should have stood with the United States. You must have stood with the United States or the former Soviet Union. And no one ever thought that could, there could be a third, way standing on your own. And it was very difficult. I mean, many people were just thinking when these two end. Nobody thought that while these two are still living on, a third model could represent itself and could flourish and spread throughout the region and the world while these two are still alive. I mean, Eastern and Western blocs, the NATO and the former Soviet Union. And then it was Imam that presented these thoughts, and he brought a new system. And at the time of Pahlavi regime, if you just take a look at the history, you will understand that most of these rulers throughout the region, these governments, kings, they depended on the United States and some on the former Soviet Union. But Imam represented a new religious popularism, religious democracy to the world. And he showed that if you stand integrated with the public, if you have public support, you could stand independent, you could be a sovereign state independent from these two blocks. Now take a look at the current situation. 40 years, more than 43 years later, you could see, where is the former Soviet Union? They're gone. Where is the United States? It was a powerful superpower some 40 years ago. Where is it now? We all saw the scandalous and the embarrassing retreat of the U.S. Troops from Afghanistan, reminding what happened to them in the Vietnam. And we have all seen the failures and great defeats of the United States in its invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, where is Iran? Some 20 years ago, even 20 years ago, Iran was more, Islamic revolution was more within its borders. But 20 years on, today, Iran and Islamic revolution has spread throughout the region and the world, and Americans have been pressuring Iran more than ever since 16, 15 years ago to slow down this progress, this growth of power in the region and in the world. Now, as despite all these pressures, sanctions, foreign currency meddling, assassinations, terror attacks, and provoking riots and psychological warfare, cyber warfare, and different types of pressures and threats in soft, semi-hard, and hard areas of warfare, Iran has been able, I mean, Islamic revolution has been able to grow more than ever. And if you just compare where Iran was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and now, you could realize where Iran, the Islamic revolution will be, Imam's thoughts will be in 20 years later from now. So he brought new partnership with the people. The most important thing, I believe, is the kind of integration of the public, of the population, the people, and the state, the establishment, the kind of public support that people have shown for the Islamic revolution has kept the Islamic revolution and has kept the Islamic Republic of Iran. Otherwise, this country has been the target of over a dozen coup d'etat efforts. It has come under invasion by Saddam Hussein that was supported directly by 37 nations and more than 80 directly or indirectly. That is the entire world from the Eastern and Western blocs, from the former Soviet Union to the USA. But it's the first time, it was the first time, that Iran has come under invasion and has not lost even a span of territory while it was under the harshest regime of sanctions ever imposed on any nation. It was isolated. It stood firm. It resisted because of this public support. The same has been happening all throughout these four decades. That's the miracle of Islam and Imam's thought, that he brought a very cohesive and strong bond between the public and the establishment, the state, and it is still alive today. As the Iranian Supreme Leader was saying, that despite all the propaganda machine that's working in the West trying to provoke riots, they have failed again and again and again because of the miscalculations that they have had. This is a miscalculation that American officials have been doing time and again and again and again, that they think that they can wear off public support for the Islamic Republic. On the contrary, public support has been growing throughout the region for Islamic thoughts. There was a time when they realized that this is a new school of thought that has been presented by Imam Khomeini. So they went for the Al-Qaeda and they started copying this kind of political Islam in their own terms, in such ways that would be beneficial to them, but they failed again and again and again. Now, the Americans, as a matter of fact, I do believe, and I believe I've said it already once on Press TV, that one of the reasons why people are standing so firm and so strong in support of the establishment is the United States and Israel, because they remind Iranians and Muslims throughout the world and freedom seekers throughout the world that they remind people of their animosity every day through their sanctions, through their military threats. And when you are under threat, you show stronger support for your cause. You appear in the streets on the Quds Day, on February 11th, marking the victory of the Islamic Revolution rallies. On every occasion, people take to the street to show that they are standing very firm and powerful for their cause, and they would not let it go. They would not be back to the Pahlavi regime. These are the kind of misunderstandings, I mean, miscalculations that the Americans have made. If you just compare the kind of protests that we have had, you know, one of the reasons why we revolted was expressing our thoughts. Now, Iranian people are expressing their thoughts about the establishment, about their rulers, not only on social media, but out in the streets. That's why we revolted. If people have protested, come to the streets, it's economic, social, it's political, whatever it is, they appear in the streets and they express themselves. This is freedom. This is democracy that they do not see in the West because it's not according to their principles. But just take a look at the kind of protests that have been provoked by the United States and supported by the United States to topple the Islamic Republic. In 2009, there was a larger number of people compared with 2 years ago, compared with the latest round of protests, the sporadic protests in a dozen cities, if you compare the numbers, they have dropped so sharply. On the contrary, as the Iranian Supreme Leader said, when General Qasem Soleimani was martyred, the numbers that took part in his funeral procession were 25 million people compared to the 10 million people that took part in the procession of Imam Khomeini. Of course, the population of Iran was smaller that time, some 30 years ago, 30-something years ago. But take a look at the numbers that Iranians show in every opportunity, occasion, they appear in the streets to show their support for the establishment. This is not unique to Iran. When you ask people, Sunni or Shiites or Christians throughout the region, they still admire the Islamic Republic and Islamic Revolution cause. They still admire Iranians for their resistance, and they still admire Iranians for all the successes that they have embraced in stem cell technology, nanotechnology, cancer treatment, aerospace technology, in nuclear technology, in military technologies, in high tech, everywhere, despite the fact that this country has been under the harshest regime of sanctions for four decades. This is the power of standing on your own feet. This is the power of integration and public support for the establishment. And that's why Americans have been very outspoken about the objective of their sanctions in the past four decades. They have always been saying that these sanctions mean to wear off public support for the Islamic Republic. That's why they try to pressure the Iranian public. And they have failed time and again. They have failed again and again, and they will be as long as they do this miscalculation and they try to pressure Iran. This is actually what's happening nowadays as the United States and the European Troika are moving again to use the worn-out political pressure of the IAEA Board of Governors against Iran, and this is happening again. And they have never received any lesson that their maximum pressure policy failed because of this public support, because of the integration between the Iranian people and the establishment.
Thank you, Mr. Khoshesh, for that full elaboration. I would like to ask the final question from Ms. Birya before we say goodbye to you and continue the discussion with our other guests here. Ms. Birya, we heard Mr. Khoshesh discuss elaborately how the revolution affected all Muslim nations across the world and how it is still living on, especially among Muslim communities. But I would like to shift the attention to the anti-imperialist movement globally, which does not necessarily include Muslim nations. And how has our Islamic revolution affected that movement?
Mm-hmm. Let me begin with a sentence and saying that when we commemorate the demise of Imam Khomeini, we are not commemorating the past. We are actually looking forward to the future. And at this time that we are, remembering Imam Khomeini in 2022, we are actually looking forward to a new world order that is beyond imperialism. That we are seeing the demise of an imperialist world order that has spanned more than 500 years of world history. And this is something that is being discussed in policy circles around the world, including in Western countries, including in the United States, that we are seeing the decline of the American world order. And the most important thing is that the coming world order, the thing that is that we are going to see in the near future, is the decline of a Western-centered world order and the emergence of an Asian-centered world order that is not hegemonic anymore. So actually, we are at a time that the anti-imperialist struggles of people around the world is paying off, and The point is, as we see the power of the, you know, the Western powers that have imperialist legacies and histories are coming to a relative decline, and you know, they no longer can have hegemonic, you know.